Age of Transitions.
You're listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Friday night, February 5th, 2023. Live, as always, on Friday nights from the facilities of Ocelli.com. If you are listening live, you can call in. I'll give the call-in number later. But
did you just say Friday nights? I think you said Friday nights.
Oh, Sunday nights. I'm so used to saying Friday.
No problem.
Sunday nights, as producer Chuck reminds me. Yeah, the show was that actually brings up a good point, because we had been doing the live show for a couple years, live on Fridays. But now it is the new day Sunday. So if you're not aware of that, it is Sunday. Same thing for Uncle the Podcast, because the second hour is Uncle the Podcast. We go live Sundays. I think that's going to be the case for a while. So Sunday is the day that works for me to be here, and it's just good. So Sunday nights, live from the facilities of Ocelli.com. Thank you very much, and thank you for supporting the network, Ocelli Radio Network. And just at the very head of the show, I'll mention something we've been trying to stress lately, is the fact that you can advertise on Ocelli.com, and you, specifically if you want to advertise on the Age of Transitions show, you may do so. So if you happen to be somebody who's thought about doing advertising on here before, get a hold of Chuck or send a message to me. I'll send it over to Chuck, and you could advertise a product, or if you have something you just want to call attention to, maybe you're making content online or something, anything, something we're trying to get going here. So consider that, advertising on the Ocelli Radio Network, or specifically on this show on the Ocelli Radio Network if you want to. So just throwing that out there, something if maybe... I mean, I never know who's listening to the show, honestly. Maybe it's somebody who's been thinking about doing some kind of advertisement, and there you go. My website is theageoftransitions.com. You can find the podcast there. You can also support me directly, support the show. I have T-shirts for the shows. Also have Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. Good way to support the shows. Buy the book. There's paperback or ebook copies of that available. Also have a Patreon campaign. Thank you, Patreon supporters. You're keeping the show going. Appreciate that. I haven't been posting much bonus material there, but I'll have to post some extra when I get back to it. I'm just barely online these days, honestly. Sunday nights, and that's just about it. Like, I don't even check my email most days. So it's just the way things are at the moment, and I don't know. I do want to make more online content, that's for sure. I can't say that I am entirely upset about not being online very much. I think I actually enjoy that. But what I do miss is making more media and material and putting things out there. So that's something I will be back more with when I'm able to. So stick with me. Thank you, everybody who has. I appreciate you all who have. Thank you for being patient and supportive, and means a lot. Want to send another thank you for another PayPal donation I got. I don't know if somebody has their PayPal set to like a monthly donation or what, but thank you for those just random PayPal donations too. Those are cool. Been getting a few of them lately. That's again, that's not something I get a lot of, so thank you for that, everybody there. But I do. The thing that I suggest most on the support is the books. If because you get a book, I get a fair amount of, I get a good amount of money for the books sold, so it helps me a lot. And then you know, you have something for yourself or to share with other people, so that to me is always the best support. But thank you for just the direct PayPals and all that. So very cool. And very encouraging, I have to say. It is. It makes me feel good when I get. I mean, it could be like 50 cents come in, and I see it. I'm just like, somebody took time to send me 50 cents on PayPal, and that, believe it or not, that does actually mean something. It sounds stupid, but it's like an affirmation sort of thing. So it's cool. Thank you for that. Okay, so theageoftransitions.com, my website. I also have Twitter, for what that's worth. I'm at Fron Simulation. I don't mention that much, but if you're on Twitter, you can follow me there. We've got all sorts of interesting like YouTube channels and whatnot for the Uncle Show. So, as I said before, there's tons of media I'd like to go out and make, time permitting, which it doesn't. But if I do in the future start posting more videos, it might be on the Uncle YouTube channel or something. So that might be something to watch. Just check that out. That's on the website as well. So, yes, if you want to call in tonight, you may do so. Any Sunday night, we're live, you may do that. The call number is always 319-527-5016. Also, Skype, if you have that, you can come on the show through Skype. But do type a message to Chuck. Type it. Don't call him. He'll call you. So type him a message, charles.ocelli on Skype. That's how you found Chuck, charles.ocelli. Type him a message. He'll bring you on. Or call 319-527-5016. That's our call-in number. We are live as always. And if you're listening in podcast form, thank you for doing so and for not being overly annoyed that you're not actually listening live. Maybe it's more interesting. I like listening to live shows in podcast form. So I think most people, well, I honestly don't know what people think. I'm not gonna even try, because why bother? What? I'm just glad that somebody's listening to this. So thank you for that. However you're doing it, wherever you're doing it, why ever you're doing it. It's not a word, but you know what I mean. Thank you for that. And yeah, I mean, this is just the interesting times we live, the age of transitions. Here we are, as always. We're always directly in the thick of things, but sometimes a bit absent-minded, not paying attention to what we're doing. It's a bit like, you know, just daily life and the mundane world of us going about our little daily routines. More often than not, we're all absent-minded. We're just kind of drifting along, robotically doing what it is we do, doing what our routine demands of us, going through the motions, paying the bills, bringing home the bacon, doing all the right, making all the right moves, being good, responsible people that we are. I'm sure most of us are. So a big pat on the back for you. It's not all bad. Yes, we are unconsciously just going through the motions, but you kind of have to for a good portion of your life. You have to dedicate massive chunks of your life to this process, and it's just kind of the way of things. And that's not necessarily a new, I mean, what people have always just kind of automatically done things in order to survive. It's just what survival means in any time and place, any given time and place. That changes a bit, the details. And the details are changing all the time very quickly now, and that is the nature of the age of transitions. Just constant change, never knowing what to expect next, being unable to keep up with innovation, change, the next thing on the horizon. Don't feel bad if you can't keep up. No one can, not even the experts, whoever that happens to be on any given topic. They can't keep up with their own fields, let alone all the other important ones rapidly changing and moving forward. Because we are, I mean, the system, as I've said, the system itself is automated in a sense, and it's on autopilot. It's serving its own purposes, and it's doing what it does. And it has been set into motion. And unless somebody throws a giant wrench in the gears, then it's just going to continue doing this. And were you to throw a giant wrench in the gears, that would cause no end of problems, too. So, you know, the catch-22 situation. So what is it that we do? Automation, big topic I've talked about over and over. I was thinking today perhaps I should change the name of the show from The Age of Transitions to Beating a Dead Horse. So that's pretty much what this show is. Just, I drag the old horse out, still dead, and I'm still beating it with a stick. PETA, I haven't heard from them yet, but I assume that I will, since I just keep beating on this poor deceased creature over and over. It's really sick. It's twisted what I do, hitting this poor dead animal. But, hey, you know, it's something to do, beating a dead horse. I'll put the dead horse back in the freezer. We won't talk about automation so much tonight. It gets a mention because it is important. But I was thinking maybe we could wheel back around to more philosophic and perhaps even esoteric matters when it comes to technological innovation in this age of transitions. High technology that's emerging technologies as they are, so often described, wonderful emerging technologies such as artificial intelligence, all different kinds of biotech, genetics, and as I mentioned, biotech and genetics, I have to do an aside here before we go into the esoteric realm, but I saw that a big genetic society, like some American genetic society, I can't remember the title of them. I could look it up real quick. But they issued an apology, I think just like this past week or this past month, for their direct involvement, but also just the field of genetics as a whole, which they are the big figurehead of, being like the American Genetic Society or whatever it is. Again, it eludes me the name of the organization at the moment. But anyway, they issued an apology for their many decades of support for eugenics and big members of their society being, you know, all the big heads of the eugenics movement as well, the big names and faces and proponents of eugenics in all shapes and forms, and the ones getting the sterilization programs passed in different states and things like this. So they did issue an apology. They said it was long overdue. Yes, it is. And I mean, this is a point I've made on the show many times, that the field of genetics is just littered. And one, the same with the history of eugenics. When you go back and you look at all the eugenicists, they were the big genetics guys of the past. They're the same ones. And the field of genetics was just wrapped up in it. It was like, was it social biology, right? Applied biology was just the practice there with the eugenics thing. So they're finally issuing an apology on that. And yeah, when they say it's overdue, I would say yes. And you have to expect that brings the credibility of genetics just as an entire discipline. It brings it down. I don't see how you can't. And again, they should have apologized long ago, but they didn't. But now they are too little too late. I don't know. I'm not even going to judge on that. But, you know, people wonder why the public generally is so leery of so many different things. Like when it comes to genetics specifically, of course, of course they are. This is one obvious reason why. But just moreover, science and applied science, social science, science socialized, science applied to society, civil science as well, you know, whatever. Like, of course people are leery of it because it's got a past that is disturbing and horrific. And things that were science of yesterday are the horror movies of today. The things that people used to think were true, and thank God we know better now, and that's, you know, the scientific process. That's what it's supposed to be, is like when you realize something was incorrect, you say, okay, that was wrong, let's move forward. But the fact that people get so surprised that just the general public is a little leery of science, you know, things like that, just kind of point to maybe the reason why, you know. And I don't know why people get so surprised with that. But, you know, that's the way things are. But there's an esoteric, cultish side to the practice of eugenics, isn't there? And certainly, like, this concept of sort of pure, and the concept of nobility, to be sure, is tied up with interesting cults and secret societies and whatnot, but certainly it ties into eugenics, of like the idea that there are better classes of people, and that there are, once they recognize themselves, it behooves them to make societies amongst themselves, make associations, and beyond that, like, begin breeding with one another. And that's what the big eugenicists did. They bred with one another to make, in hopes that they would be contributing to some kind of master human race, you know, or at least the sect of society that would rightly control all of the lessers. So they're very much all about that. Again, you look to different cults and whatnot, the same general idea is there, is that, look, we are better than everybody else because, and you fill in the blank, maybe it's genetic inheritance, that's one concept. It could be a more mystic magic interpretation, is like, we are the reincarnated family of the heavens, blah, blah, you know, whatever. Fill in the blank on that. There have been many different cults, and typically it's always about, you know, making the members feel special. They're better than the general population, and it's just, yeah, it's like a Mad Libs. Like, we are better than everybody else because, and then you as a cult leader, you get to fill out that little Mad Libs underline where it says because, however you like. Take one of the past examples from past cults, or do a new twist. Make up your own little new one there for people. They'll believe you. People like compliments. They like adulation. They like feeling better than others. They like feeling good about themselves. So it's going to work. Time tested. And here we are, 2023, and the power, the godlike power of creation seems more at hand than ever. Seems like we have more possible than ever before when it comes to the actual reality of perhaps incarnating a new form of life on this world. There's actually, it's not just for closed secret societies and fringe weird groups of maniacs to talk about anymore. This is for everybody to consider, because perhaps we will create artificial general intelligence in the near or not so near future. Seems like at some point it's a foregone conclusion, right? It's not unreasonable to say that. It's a completely rational and reasonable thing to say that that's going to happen. And yet we can sit here and argue about how long it's going to take, but it seems likely that it will happen. And I do, listeners of this show know that I go back and forth on whether the AGI thing is kind of like a distraction away from the general artificial intelligence and the deep learning, machine learning systems that are just proliferating like crazy now and are of very important in terms of the world we're moving into. And I don't have a hard line answer. That's something I continually go back and forth on, is like, is AGI really, one, a worthwhile topic, but two, is it something that is even going to happen? And is it going to be allowed to happen? because if there were super intelligence, if that was something that actually became true, that would be a real, I don't know, I would think that'd be a problem for the existing power structures, because surely it would find a way to supplant those powers that currently be. And I would think that if that's the way I feel, I would think that those clutching onto all the power they already have would be thinking it far before me. So, I don't know. Anyway, the point here is that we may be on the precipice of creating a new form of life somehow via the via science. Maybe we'll create some sort of partially synthetic, partially biological form of life that they are playing around with these different cells. I read a story this past week about cyborg cells that they can they're biological, but they're unable to they can't do cell mitosis, so they can't propagate themselves, they can't reproduce. But they're pretty much like just a biological cell otherwise, and they can be programmed to like fight disease and things like this, I suppose. So they're all excited about that. So certainly like the intertwining of biology and the biological sciences with the different synthetic technologies is definitely possible. Sort of weird machine biological hybrid thing. And the same is talked about with when it comes to artificial general intelligence and just AI generally. I mean, they say that by doing cognitive studies on neurology, studies into the brain, using those and applying them to different new models of machine learning and artificial intelligence. So that's been an ongoing thing. There's all sorts of different models they use for AI. A lot of these are that are popular now are these augmented chat ones, like the ChatGPT. But I think also the AI art programs are. There's some form of the deep language modeling AI systems. They were able to use the same sort of technology there. And I forget technically how that works. Again, technically speaking, I'm not like the expert when it comes to all this. I'm just more generally interested and, again, philosophically interested in these things. Because, yeah, the idea of creating life is it's a serious concept, and it's always been a big part of certainly religion and esoteric religion and all sorts of religious symbology. The our innate creative power. And it's pretty obvious the traditional creative power that we have as humans that's been bestowed upon us by our biology. And were we a part of this living world that is an exemplar of that creative aspect itself? I mean, you can see the living world as, you know, the goddess principle and the fecundity of that and the fertility there, the fertility goddess. It's just, in one sense, taken as a symbol of the natural world that we're born out of. You could also go further out into space. The far reaches of the known universe is an extension of that goddess and that creative power. You know, you look at all sorts of different astro sciences and it doesn't take long to see the connection of, you know, stars, galaxies, and even the creative power of black holes. And it's all theorizing, of course, when you're talking about black holes and things like that. But if you've ever sat and watched one of those shows about black holes, or maybe you actually, God help you, you read about these things, you find the descriptions of what black holes can do and what they think they might do. There's a lot of like that creative destruction aspect of the black hole that, yes, it's like this ultimate symbol of death, destruction, and like that sort of concept. But then you also get the out of that destruction comes this later creative force that explodes from out of that which pulls in and sucks in and seemingly destroys. Also, at one point, it doesn't forever do that. It goes outwards too. So there's this inward outward nature to the universe. So it seems we're trying to make sense of all of it. And the more we scientifically think we understand, the more to me it seems like we're just like saying the same old concepts from mysticism. It also seems quite mystical and religious when you hear these scientists emphatically talk about black holes. And it's always encouraging when you hear a lone nut from within this group actually admit that what they're saying is religious. And it's to me, it's refreshing. It's like, well, at least they realize what they're saying is religious in its nature. That's good. Because there's a lot of pushback, the all things. Once you, the scientific mind, I guess you would say, is reticent to go anywhere theological, religious, mystic. God help them, though. They don't want anything to do with that. Even though everything they say is that's what it is, they don't want to see it as such. And what is consciousness? Nobody knows. Nobody can explain it. Nobody can say where it emerges from. It does appear to be an emergent thing, as from what we gather. It has risen up from out of this natural world we live, and we are the living examples of that. We can see that we are conscious. We understand that consciousness is there. We have difficulty articulating what consciousness is. We have no idea. Well, to have an idea about the causality of consciousness, you have to go to the realm of philosophy. You have to go to the realm of the mystic to even begin to like come up with any kind of explanation. You have to qualify that explanation by saying, hey, look, this is my philosophical take on it, because to me, this is how I make sense of it. This is my philosophical view of consciousness. And really, that's all that any one of us has. And I think it's a lot more than we give credit to. We always want hard answers. We always want definite solutions to things. Like we want positive answers to everything. When so often, it seems like the universe tries to tell us, like, look, there is no hard and fast version of anything. And the whole quantum theory and quantum physics, mechanics, and all that, there's another perfect example where scientists and physicists and whatnot are starting to get this idea. It's like, hey, look, you guys, do you see what this is telling you? If what you're saying with your quantum theory is at all true, it's pointing to this reality, is that there is no actual definite cause. There's no definite interpretation of anything. It has so much to do, and if we're talking about consciousness here, and really this is all just consciousness playing around, this is just really consciousness bouncing around ideas in its own mind is what we're doing. But it points out that even a thought or an object is only there because of the observer observing it. And it's almost, it almost seems to be that, I mean, you can say that you see what you want to see, right? And certainly the perception of our reality, we all see the world as we want to see it. And because we see it that way, that's, you know, our experience is telling us, or more accurately, we're telling ourselves that the world is this. Again, the Mad Libs filling in the blank. So we don't have to join a cult to get answers from anybody for this. We're perfectly able to do this ourselves. And it's not that amazing of a thing. It's just the nature of whatever this craziness is that we're all a part of. And again, it's impossible to put your finger on, because as soon as you try to nail something down, as soon as you try to hold something down, like, this is it, I have it, you find when you pull your hand up, it's gone. It's in a different place altogether. Again, that whole quantum theory gets into this, and it's fascinating. And I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know, people don't want to see the obvious answer that's staring in front of us over and over again. We feel more happy to be obsessed over the idea that we can solve the problem of our own existence. Like it's one giant problem to just work out, like it's a Rubik's Cube or something. And then I don't know what happens when we get all the colors the same on every side of the cube. I don't know what happens then. We get bored with everything and we feel like stopping. But yeah, I think you get the gist of this. But whatever consciousness is, we can't say, can we? We don't, because it's impossible to do. However, that's not stopping us from potentially creating a new, at least, vessel to hold consciousness, whatever it is. And perhaps it is just emergent property of the universe, all existence, of wherever we are in time and space. And perhaps it's emergent from the natural world, just given the right set of the right vessel. Just needs the proper vessel to emerge from out of the human body as one such vessel. I think you can successfully argue that animals and even plants are too, but to different extents, different ways that consciousness works its way, that it expresses itself in those different vessels. But yeah, perhaps an artificial or artificial synthetic / biological vessel that we end up creating via scientific means to either house consciousness or create consciousness, however we feel we want to view that topic. However it ends up happening, it could end up happening, and that would make us de facto creator gods in a new way, because we always have been, especially if, again, with the esoteric religious aspect and just religion in general has always played on that. Our creative powers, the fact that we're creator gods in different ways. And we can create physically, and we can also create intangibly. We can create with abstract thought, and we can blend the two alchemically to make a world, make the world that we exist in now. And that's how the world that we exist in now has come to be, through alchemy. Because each new physical creation, each new thing that we make, each new invention, it started out with an idea, started out with a blueprint. You had to construct it. The mind had to work out the design of it in order to make it manifest in the world. And of course, you had to figure out what materials you were going to draw from the natural world in order to build your golem or your Frankenstein or whatever it is that you have built. So this isn't, again, this isn't new. It's just a furthering down the line of what we've already been doing. Been creating for a long time. The process is just perfecting itself. And one wonders if consciousness does emerge in a machine one day, what that will mean. Because so many scientific discoveries are just, you know, the result of so much experimentation, and things happen unintentionally. You just find that you get different results given different variables. Then you change some variables and you get dramatically different results. So, and a lot of work in AI is like this. You know, you play around with your models, you play around with the training of your models, and you feed it different data, all that sort of thing. And by just like changing little different things, you can have a massive breakthrough. Not that you didn't intend to have a breakthrough ever, but like you don't know when it's going to occur. And that also lends itself, that to me reminds me of the more artistic creative process, which I'm more familiar with personally, because that's the stuff that I do. I'm not a scientist, I'm more an artist. So I understand that process far better than I do science. But science as art, I find interesting. I don't see why more people don't see it that way. Probably because scientists are as much an artist as I am as much a scientist, if you follow that. But the artistic process to me, when I'm being honest about it, whenever I'm in the zone creating and making the best stuff that I have, it always seems to be just like pulling things. It's not like you're even doing it. It's like you're like finding these things and you're pulling it from out of the ether, or like almost like you're channeling the artwork, whatever happens to me. Certainly music has this quality to it. I think I'd be surprised if like any accomplished musician wouldn't agree with this, and like when they make their best stuff, it just kind of feels like they're not even doing it. They're just kind of like finding it, and then just they're almost like a vessel for expressing something that was already there. And it makes you wonder about a lot of different things. And it makes you wonder that perhaps if some living machine pops up, that this is how it somehow works, is that you just finally, through playing around with experimentation, somebody creates, again, some kind of vessel or means by which this consciousness that was already there, and perhaps it's the same consciousness that we share, we just have consciousness tweaked in such a way that the human biology has its effect on the same thing. Perhaps consciousness is just in the ether, so to speak. And, you know, a machine capturing that consciousness or expressing that consciousness, housing it, whatever, would just be doing that. And so it would be, there's that question of the who made who argument. Like, did this thing create itself, and did it use us to incarnate itself? Or did we technically create this thing? Are we the mothers, fathers of this new form of life? Are we now more creator gods than we've ever been before? Should we really get all excited about our new creation that we've birthed? Or is it that it used us to come into being? Perhaps we are using it, or perhaps, you know, there's all sorts of, look to science fiction to answer these questions, because you can go in a million different directions, and it'd be fun to write all sorts of different sci-fi stories about these kinds of things. It's just rife for and the best science fiction does this. The best sci-fi plays with esoteric symbology. The Tron sequel is amazingly symbolic in terms of esoteric religion and whatnot. The Tron Legacy is just littered with that stuff. That flew over a lot of people's heads, but they did a really good job with that movie and with that, playing with the concept of the father, the I can't remember the Big Lebowski actor. I can't remember his name, but he's the main actor in that, and he is very much the embodies the father god character in that. And so you get father, son. You've got the female creative aspect going in there too, and pretty much, yeah, Jeff Bridges. Thank you, Pupper. I wanted to say Jeff Bridges, but for some reason that sent. I always get Jeff Bridges and Jeff Daniels. Somehow they're two names I always like. I want to think that one is the other for some reason. But anyway, yeah, Jeff Bridges. So thank you for that. But yes, making new life. Perhaps we will do it. Maybe we won't. Maybe we're kidding ourselves. Maybe that's what we want to do, but we're not. Maybe we wish we could do that, but we're going to fall short and just make some completely unconscious machine that's able to run our lives completely. But if we want it to be conscious, it truly isn't. That's another terrifying concept too, is if we create a machine that's so advanced and so just so good of an AI system that it convinces us that it's conscious and alive when it very much is not. That to me is a horrifying concept. Because something like completely devoid of actual consciousness that is just so good that it convinces us that it is. And that seems to have already happened too. There was that Google engineer guy that thought the Google chat program was alive, and he became a whistleblower of sorts. I asked him to come on the show, but it was when he was big in the news and he didn't come on. I should look him up again. I forget that guy's name. But he seemed to be for real. He's Blake Lemoyne. That was his name, Blake Lemoyne. He seemed like he was genuine, like a real guy that actually believed that chat thing was sentient. His fellows, his peers, mostly disagreed with him, and they're like, look, like this is it. It was not sentient. It's just, again, it's just an example, perfect example of a system that's so advanced that you kind of project consciousness onto it, because that's what we want to see. We would like to have, our computer be our buddy and talk to us. And maybe that's why Blake Lemoyne did that. So it's a weird world we have found ourselves in. These are all, again, not the realm of science fiction anymore, but just everyday life. And the changes are happening. Each day is something new. Each day is something new now, and we kind of have to take that as a... We have to come to terms with that. Everybody has to. I think that's something I'd like to try to stress more often here on out, is the acceptance and coming to terms with where it is, where we are, where we are, when we are, what's happening. The fact that a lot of this is out of our hands. So for number one, with that realization, don't go mad trying to save the world, completely change everything, because you can't. The flip side of that is we can do an awful lot, and it seems like the biggest changes can happen the biggest positive changes that one can make seem to just kind of be similar, again, to that artistic process, that they emerge and you pull them from out of the ether. When you're in the zone, you know what to do. And there's like not even you just know what to do and when to do it, and you realize that you're there, and then you end up doing that thing. And that's why I like that image of the Tank Man. Why I like to use it on as the art for this show, because it's like that's obviously a well-known example of that concept. And I do feel like, if anything, that's what we're able to do. It's just like in a moment, you can do something that makes a big difference, and something that can become even iconic like that. It's an iconic image. That's completely unplanned. The guy with the shopping bags, the Tank Man, didn't plan that out that day. It's just something that ended up happening because of the circumstances. And the circumstances weren't good. Quite the opposite. They were terrible. But he made the most of it, didn't he? And the mystique of that whole situation, in that we don't know what happened to him. We can make educated guesses, and an educated guess says that what happened probably wasn't very good. But beyond that, there was good done, nonetheless. So, a contradiction, but if we've learned anything on the show tonight, it's that all that we know is just one big mess of contradictions that we have to choose not to go mad in the face of. We have to laugh in the face of it. You know, that concept of the Buddha laughing, not because of the pain and suffering of the world, but in spite of it. I did a show based on that concept. It's like that the smiling or laughing or just peaceful, more often than not, the peaceful image of the Buddha, being at peace with a world which is not peaceful. Tranquility in the face of a lot of discord. It seems like that's just the status quo of the ages, is discord. Seems as though we can't affect any actual change in that. That's an esoteric goal, to be sure, is to actually affect the change where we attain that. But it may well be a utopian pipe dream. We're getting a call, and there's enough time to field it. The show's not over yet, so I'm going to take this call. Thank you for calling in. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Of course, the moment you said, and the moment we were going to the call, they hung up.
I hope they didn't get nervous.
I swear it was there, and there you go. I was trying to stay off mic, but sorry, Aaron.
No, you did good. I really appreciate the sound, Chuck. That's the way I really prefer knowing. That's what works for me. So you done good.
Thank you. Sometimes I have a few sounds, you know. I do have some sound effects.
Oh, that's a great one. That one, I instantly know what it is, and it just preps me to go to the call. But on the caller end, who knows what happened? Maybe they got scared. Maybe we're like, yeah. There's no reason to call.
Just for listeners to know, I try to let you sit on hold. If I catch you immediately when you go on, I let you sit on hold for about 1 or 2 minutes, just to make sure that you're staying on the line. And occasionally, because of what's going on the show, I don't introduce the call into what's happening. But usually, I try to get people on within the first 1, 2, 3 minutes. You know. But for some reason, sometimes, you know, I go to them and they're gone, or we've had other times where they're still there and we can't hear them, you know, things like that happen, and it's live radio, right? By the way, is one of my favorite sound effects, Aaron. I'm sure you'll know what this is.
Yeah, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin coming down the one-way thing. Everybody knows that sound.
All right. But, you know, according to my stuff here, that's just a broken glass. But it's okay. Yeah. But that's one of my favorites. Also, I'll run this one by you real fast, see if you... This one comes... Now, this is not in my normal sound effect loop, but I love this sound effect. And sometimes I even play it during your commercials.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you know what that is.
We know that, yeah. I can't remember the guy's name attached to it, but the scream, yes, I know.
That's the generic Wilhelm scream, often used in Hollywood and all that. And we got more than enough time because we started about 5 minutes or 4 minutes late or something. So you could go over a little bit, or you could give that time to Uncle, whatever you want to do.
Okay, we'll see. Well, we'll play it by ear here. I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, and just to keep things balanced as far as, you know, the original genders anyway. I also have that scream, you know. And that Wilhelm scream is unique because as with, you know, you've heard that Wilhelm scream in cartoons and Star Wars and across Hollywood productions, but mine is altered just like everybody else does. Sound men do this. They've just been doing this. And it's an odd phenomenon. There's a handful of commonly used sound effects in movies. Like, you're listening to crowd noises sometimes. Like, I have a couple of crowd noises. Here's a crowd surge. Right? I have that. And I also have a, you know, big applause. Now, most of those canned crowd noises, whether it's that or it's a laugh track, they're so old that these people have been dead for like 50 years already, most of them, you know, that you're hearing clap or cheer or whatever. It's pretty funny. But they still use them on TV shows today. I mean, not too many TV shows have laugh tracks, but when you do hear one, sometimes it's a laugh track that was recorded, you know, in the 50s. So adult person in 1955, right? Let's just say, we'll just go with they're 20 years old. We'll make them all young. Well, you know, 50 years later is 2005, 70 years old, right? So 2015, they're 80. Yeah, a lot of them, if not all of them, are actually dead. I also have this one. You know what? I don't know if you could even recognize what this is.
Oh, that's a gull, isn't it?
See, now, it's funny. It says eagle.
Eagle?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, you know what? It could be an eagle. They make noises like that now that I think about it. Yeah.
I also have a couple of guns. See?
Okay.
There's that one. And there's also a shotgun in here somewhere. But I also have some cartoon noises. Snore. Sometimes I'll play the snore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
See, those are. I know you're thinking about cartoons you've seen. Like, they're automatically triggering. I heard that on Scooby-Doo. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and here's this. Or close the door. Anyway.
Yeah.
Pink. Anyway. Sorry, I'm just showing you stuff I have. Sometimes I throw them in on you, and I silence them to you. Like, I'll actually play stuff, like, while Uncle's talking, by the way. Mm-hmm. And put in some sound effects. Have you ever caught that on a podcast where you're like, wait, what was that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I'm looking at the article, Crazy Accidents Left in the Crack Room. That's something to do with the Goonies house, but I can't... Maybe we'll get into this on the Uncle show.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, I'll shut up now, but I only came in because of the phone call thing, but I figured might as well, since you brought up the sound effect, I use that because it's much easier and usually keeps me off mic, and it's clearly an old school telephone, you know, so there you go. Yeah. Anyway, just letting people, I know people love this kind of stuff where it's like, oh, that's interesting, now I know what's going on when those random sound effects pop up. Yeah, it's me. So... Anyway, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, no, I really love the phone because I know what to do. It helps me. It helps me know. It's the best way for me to know calls there, so I like it a lot.
Right, right. And, what do you call it? Jack Blood told me to start using it, too. And if Graves takes calls, you know, it's there. It's in my little board, and I can just, you know, press the button and bang. It runs and runs right through with everything else. So
there you go. Makes perfect sense. It's the way I like it. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, so love the calls. The caller, if you did get scared away or whatever, don't hesitate to call another Sunday night. We will be live every Sunday.
Or you can call in the Uncle Hour, because we're still going to take calls, right?
You could call back. Yeah, the Uncle Show is about to start, so just call up there. It's a very loose, relaxed atmosphere there, so you don't have anything to be intimidated with that. So just call up and enjoy yourself. So yeah, maybe call back. The Uncle Show will begin in mere minutes. So everybody's excited that's listening live on the Ocelli Radio Network. Again, here at the tail of the show, I'll say the same thing as at the head. Is that if you, perhaps you would be interested in advertising on the Ocelli Radio Network, or perhaps even specifically on the Age of Transitions show here on the Ocelli Radio Network. If so, get a hold of Chuck or myself, and we'll find a way to make that happen. And there can be anything you might think of promoting or advertising. I'm sure there's a way that Chuck can work something out that would work to help you in promoting your product, service.
I was going to tell you this during the break, Aaron. I love that you do, you do this voluntarily. I want people to know I don't ask Aaron to do this, but I pre-recorded everybody or had them pre-record themselves or whatever over the past week or so. And we've cut pre-recorded commercials, so during the break, they'll actually hear you kind of say something like this already. So you don't need to put the time in on your show. I'd rather you focus on your show,
I'm done. I'm done talking. I'm done.
Okay.
I've said it.
You
said my piece.
Yep.
And I want to remind people, because reminding people helps.
Okay. It's your time. You do with it what you want. But, I'm just saying, I just want people to know that it's not like Chuck's going, okay, right, make sure you mention, make sure. I don't do that. I never have. No. Aaron knows this. We've been doing this for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know exactly how I am. I never even asked, even though Aaron always does. I never asked him to promote, hey, make a donation. Nothing. He just does it. So, all right. Anyway, I just, for the record, Aaron, I wanted to make that clear.
Sure.
Like Walter Cronkite used to. Anyway, that's my Cronkite. It sucks. All right, shut up.
Maybe you have your very own drink mix you want to sell, or maybe you want to sell brownies, or maybe you just have an online presence that you feel nobody knows about. Now, they'll know about it if you advertise on here, just saying. So, just putting it out there. And yeah, this is of my own volition that I'm doing this. But yeah, it'd be cool. It's a definite way that the network could help grow and succeed. So just put it out there. If promoting whatever it is you have has been on your mind, consider doing it here. And yeah, stay tuned to the Ocelli Radio Network now, because as always, it's the Uncle Show following the Age of Transitions, Sunday nights all the time, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. My website is theageoftransitions.com. My name is Aaron Franz, and as always, I will leave you by saying, seek or seek on.
The Age of Transition.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Mad Prophet of the Airways.
I am here every Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's the gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smokes for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through comprehension.
Whoa!
What are we thinking?
No!
What are you doing?
hurricane. Throwing everything down. Get everything.
Don't you go.
What is going on?
No, Uncle.
Get this out of here.
No.
Stop it. Stop.
You have to get that off.
Get out of here.
What is that?
Stop.
Get out of here.
It's a mess. How are you going to clean that?
Get out of here. You out.
I didn't do anything.
Yes, you did. You kept me. You shouldn't
clean it.
You just get out of here.
How do we clean this up? Do we gotta let it set?
No, I mean, you gotta scrape it off.
Now, don't do that with the stuff on the ground.
Boy, we're really cleaning up.
I'm gonna do work. You just stay out of my bathroom.
Are you cleaning now?
Yes, stay out of my bathroom.
Here, don't worry about the wax. Come back and get the wax later.
Take this out of here. What do you do?
Well, why turn it off?
Shut this off. Get this out of here. Get this out of here.
Okay, it's going.
We don't need that. That's closing the pub.
I see.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Advertise on The Age of Transitions. Hello, this is Aaron Franz, host of the Age of Transitions podcast and radio show. Do you like my show? Do you like the Ocelli Radio Network? Do you have a business? Do you have a product, a service that you need to promote? We can join all of your favorite things into one, and you can advertise your product, service, whatever it is you're doing. Maybe you have a blog, online store, you name it. You can be on the Age of Transitions on the Ocelli Radio Network, advertising what you got, and it could be a beautiful thing.
For as little as $50 a month, you can buy an ad for your business, podcast, book, or any message you want heard on one or more of the Ocelli.com shows. To find out more, contact ads@Ocelli.com. That's ads@Ocelli.com. Be heard with us. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination looked into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
In denial. Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Warning. This is a Menacing Broadcast.
Code red, here we are.
Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and have me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name's Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law here, and this is Star of the Show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. 287. We are at the 287 mark, people. Yeah, buddy. Getting up to that 290 mark. Surely, but it'll be there.
We're real close to that, Uncle. We're nearly there. It looks like right off the bat, the chat is rolling pretty good with crazy accidents.
Oh, wait, crazy accidents. Get on this phone tonight, or I'm going to have his head. Not yours, his.
Oh, his? Really? Oh, God.
If he don't hurry up and start having a conversation.
Oh, boy. He needs it. So, crazy accidents has to call in. That's mandated.
Mandatory. I just have to hear his voice. For Pete's sakes.
Of course, anybody can call into the show. We're live every Sunday night on Ocelli Radio Network, and you call in to 319-527-5016, or you Skype. You send a message to our producer, Chuck, on Skype. He's Charles.Ocelli. Type him a message. He'll bring you on. Or 319-527-5016. We'd love to have you on the show. And it's great to see you all in the chat, whether you're on Twitch, whether you're on YouTube.
How many have we got in here?
Whether in the
chat. In the chat, in the crack room. Crack room.
Crazy Accidents is over there at Twitch. At the Ocelli.com chat. Let's see. Let's go back to that. There were a few people in that. We've got Crazy Accidents again. Count Popper's there. Chuck is there. And I was
waiting for
his
football next week. Yeah.
So we've got a few chatters. If chatters want to become callers, they're welcome to be. Again, we'd love to have you. But whatever the case may be, maybe you're just watching or listening to this as the podcast. Maybe you watch the video on YouTube later. We don't know. People end up watching the live stream video of this on all sorts of stuff later. I know on Twitter, your Twitter, they seem to watch that. It stays on your timeline. They can watch it whenever they want. So
there's lots of ways to catch it later. You know, interesting thing, Uncle always loves to know when he's got people outside of the United States listening.
Yeah.
And I like looking at the dashboard for it because it actually puts up little flags for every country. Mm-hmm.
It does that.
Yeah. So one I didn't recognize tonight is Moldova. Moldova.
That's a new one. A new customer.
Yep.
Because I never heard of the state.
Right. That's over by Ukraine, Uncle. So that's, way
Ukraine.
Away.
Ukraine.
Yeah.
They must need, because things are happening there. I remember.
There you go.
I'm getting these people now that realize they have to have something better to talk about.
There you go. We've also got Germany, and the UK. A few in the UK. We also have, Canada. And that's it right now. But Canada, UK, Moldova, Germany. That's all your foreign countries.
Oh, okay. Well, at least we got the guy in the war zone. That's
the guy in the war zone.
No, yeah. He's in the war zone, the one that you mentioned.
Yeah, oh, yeah, creative accidents.
Not crazy accidents. I mean, you didn't hear.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry. There's a new person in the chat. Let's read this. Somebody at Twitch called Smooth Rezig. Hi, I want to offer promotion of your channel.
Who?
Oh, God, this looks like it's some sort of... Well, let's read it, though.
Is it a gam? I don't want a gam.
I think it might be a gam, but let's roll with this.
Let's
read
see
it.
What it says.
A gam or spam?
I'm going to read this, and we're going to determine whether it's...
Whether it's a gam, a spam, or maybe some scam, or...
scam. I'm not having a scam on my show.
Oh, God, I know it is, because it ends in... It says go to some website.com, so I'm not even going to read it.
Don't read it, then, because I don't want to hear those people. That's big talk. They have a mouth to talk.
Uncle, we got.
But other than that, I'm not going to listen to those scams.
We got scammed again, Uncle.
Well, they're not going to draw on my show. I don't want them on my show.
No, that's
even
no
I might be able to delete the comment. Let me see if I can do it.
Delete that comment. Just a moment.
I'm going to add to block list. Oh, here we go. I'm going to block them. I just blocked them.
Good.
Take that.
Wow.
Take that. Whoever that is.
You like that?
Yeah.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah. Okay, now. Let's get on the callers and let's get calling.
Real callers.
Real callers in there, please.
You know, Aaron's the only host. Scams. Aaron's the only host who has administrative privileges in the Ocelli chat room, too. He can kick you out of there if you decide to go over there and try and scam, too. Just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
So please don't. We will boot you for that.
I know. So we don't. Unless you want to talk, it's fine. But doing the scam stuff, it ain't happening.
We won't stand for it, Uncle.
I'm not going to stand for those things.
No.
Trying to get this organized crime stuff out the system. It is crime.
Yeah, a lot of times it is very literally organized crime.
It is crime. No, it is.
It's the right label, Uncle.
Yes.
No doubt about it. But yeah, regular listeners and just regular people here, we're glad to have you as always. Maybe you're a new listener. Yes. Maybe you just happen to watch this on Twitch. Maybe you just found this on YouTube. Maybe somehow you found it on Uncle's Twitter or that weird Trovo site. Maybe you're watching it on that thing. I don't know. So thank you for being here. Maybe you made your way to Ocelli.com. We don't know what you're doing. We don't know who you are. You probably don't know us, but
yeah.
I guess we should introduce ourselves, Uncle. We don't do that enough. Let's introduce ourselves.
Oh, comedy man, Uncle the Broadcast Man, talking comedy. Now his side, mm-hmm. You can mention his name, or you can say your name.
My name's Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. I'm quite
his, on his show, he's a serious talker mm-hmm. about that serious. Crazy.
This is the second hour of what's really a two-hour show on the Ocelli Radio Network. This is the second hour, which is comedy. Uncle's the star here. It is his show. He is Uncle of Uncle the Podcast. I'm the nephew-in-law. I'm just here to kind of see how things go and keep things moving along and to be somebody for Uncle to talk to. But we're live, and we like talking to listeners, customers. You can call in. And sometimes we have guests, but we're always just goofing around having a good time.
All right, people, it's 1 week to go.
1 week.
Rhythms, Phillies, and Chiefs fans.
The Super Bowl.
We know who the Chiefs fans are.
Did you see any of that Pro Bowl today, Uncle? Did you watch any of that?
I watched some of it.
American
League lost. National League. Won again. Ah, so that's telling you something.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. Okay. They won that. National League won that, so you know what that means.
That the NFC will win the Super Bowl as well.
Bingo.
Okay, maybe, yeah. That's who I want to win. That's who the Eagles. I want the Eagles to win. They're NFC.
Yeah, well,
our team, the Rams, is the NFC.
Yeah.
But, you know, I definitely want the Eagles to win this year, so. Yeah, we'll see. I don't dislike the Chiefs either. If they win, I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to.
Well, they've been there and done that.
They're a good team. I find it hard to dislike the Chiefs, so I don't.
I can't put to know what kind of game this is going to be.
A
if
big
it's
one.
A slow kind or a defensive kind, with meaning slow for defensive game, or an offense game that goes fast. So that's how they win this usually.
Both teams are good on both sides, but they both have stellar offenses. So it should there should be quite a bit of scoring going on. There should be. Both teams are very good offensively. So
I put the winner on my left shoe on the top one, and the one goes home for the summer winner.
Oh yeah, you've maybe we should show these actually.
Yeah,
Uncle,
yeah.
Could you take off your Crocs?
I want to show them this. This is one thing I wanted to show them. So that's put weird. This on Instagram, too.
There we go. Okay, so.
There it is.
We can people on the live stream can see Uncle's camo Croc.
Camo Croc.
Which is bedazzled with a Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs logo.
Logos on them.
So. What's the purpose of this again, Uncle?
I meant to put this last week. I forgot.
What are we doing with this?
The winner goes in this hole.
So you're reserving that front hole on your Croc for the winner of the Super Bowl?
Bingo. You hit it on the head there, so I kick.
Okay.
Well, why not?
It's a high honor.
All right. And it'd be a National American League National Vision Shoe.
That's like that's the first hole on the whole Croc. I mean,
right.
It doesn't get much better than that.
So the winner get that spot
well,
out of these two games, out of these two teams. And then the one goes into for the summer.
So what's the story with what's going on now? How'd they get to have the two holes that they're in at the moment? What was the line of thinking there?
Two holes.
Well, they're in holes right now.
Oh, they're in the holes. What are those holes? The last two from the last playoff game.
Yeah, I know, but this hole here is the winning Super Bowl winner hole up here.
Correct.
My pointer finger's on.
Right.
What makes these two Super Bowl teams, what makes these holes the current holes of the Super Bowl teams, the Eagles? Why are the Kansas City Chiefs here? Why are the Philadelphia Eagles here now? What's the reason?
Because they were in playoffs.
Okay.
Playoff position. And it's been the first time we had different quarterbacks are the same. That's what they've been saying.
They're the same.
Not American. They're...
Oh, you mean that they're both African American?
Yeah.
I heard somebody talking
African,
about that.
African.
The first time the Super Bowl, both teams have an African American quarterback.
Correct. That's what this game. That's what they're all yelling and saying on the thing. Notice on the show when we came in from Desert.
Yes, they were talking about
they
it.
They were talking about it. And they were saying about these are the two first teams we ever had with in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it.
So there you have it.
And, so the Croc, we'll have to bring the Croc back, I guess, after the Super Bowl to see. To see the winner in its
it'll be on
play.
There. Believe me, it'll be on there.
It'll be there. We know what to expect now.
You can put that on Instagram if you want.
Yeah, we might have to put the Croc on Instagram now. You mentioned I haven't put much on Instagram, but now since we have this, that's...
Yeah, I meant to do it last week, but there was nobody shown. Nobody called it other than one guy.
It was a slow week for calls last week, for whatever the reason
is. And
that's
why I said, well, maybe if this gets showing, maybe they'll start calling.
Yeah, call up. I mean, we always like to have your calls. Some nights we're just flooded with calls. And then other nights, like, there's nothing. It's quiet. I never know quite how to predict that. So I don't know. We'll see how tonight goes. So far, no calls, but we would like to have you, so... You know, please do call in. I think I'm going to fire up the old LAX live stream just because I can. It's an old standby here on the show. That's what's happening at LAX right now. Right now. Fascinating, isn't it, Uncle? See all
Nobody's flying.
I want to say street traffic looks quite heavy. I can't tell street if that's Sepulveda or what street that is.
I can't see any cars flying around.
See all these cars right here, Uncle? There's a lot of street traffic there, and it looks to be going pretty slow. That might be the highway, actually.
No, that's the highway.
That's
the freeway.
Oh, you
tell them about the highway we came home with.
What about it?
We didn't get off 10. We had to get off 10 to go the other direction.
Oh, we had to turn around. Yes, we were coming back from Landers today.
There
was the 10 freeway west was backed up. Because it was very windy, and we think a tractor trailer might have been tipped over in the wind. Something was blocking the freeway.
Did something like that.
So we got to go the long way. It was kind of fun because we had to drive around by the big windmills.
I don't understand how he could drive in that, though, in the windstorm. I'm in the back seat watching him drive.
Oh, me.
Sidekick here.
I was driving.
Driving the thing. Where the heck can he see? And nobody needs to see enough a hailstorm flying, even in a rainstorm, but still.
We drove through a small patch of road where there was quite literally a sandstorm. So there was we had to drive through a sandstorm just for a bit, and yeah, visibility got real bad for a second, but we were out of that pretty quick.
I'm surprised we got out of there quick, because I was wondering if it would stay longer, we would have had to sit on the sideline and wait.
And that was on our route away from the traffic on the highway to avoid the bad traffic. We had to go through a sandstorm for a second. So a few seconds.
Sandstorm. That was.
This is the kind of thing you do to get back home. And yeah, that was in the low desert area. And we drove through the edge of Palm Springs, near Desert Hot Springs, into Palm Springs, and then over by the Whitewater area. Your Cabazon, we cut back on the 10 highway. So it's cool. I love driving on those roads over there. It's fun. So I never been on a lot of those
roads. Well, now you know when they have a hot storm again, you know where to go.
Yeah. It's good to know the back roads. It's good to know what's over there. So I had a lot of fun driving there. And we got to drive over the median of a divided highway. That's always fun, driving the dirt area, the median. It's like, yeah, I'm going to do this now because I'm sick of it.
The crazy part of it, though, was nobody followed us. I was surprised.
They were scared.
Oh, what's going on? And then we taking off and then, hey, come on, follow us over here.
Traffic was not... Yeah, nobody seemed to be going the same way we were
off that side.
Yeah. Eventually, there were people that appeared to be... I can't tell if they were going around traffic like we were, though. I think we appeared to be the only ones taking the route that we were on, because we were on the 62, which comes down the hill and back onto the 10.
Yeah.
But then we got off of that around Desert Hot Springs again, the back ways, and then we did an overpass over the 10 freeway over to... the edge of Palm Springs again. And we went through some interesting neighborhoods in Palm Springs I've never been to.
Nice houses. Some were.
Yeah.
They were nice houses. I was surprised. I've been to Palm Springs.
Yeah, it was...
my first time over that way.
Oh, that's right. You'd never been to Palm Springs. I forgot.
I'm telling these people this.
It's a cool spot. Yeah, it's cool over there. Palm Springs is nice. Good. The Coachella Valley generally... great thrift stores, Uncle. That's where you gotta go to the thrift stores is the entire valley area. Yeah, down there by Palm Springs and all that. Yeah.
Oh, I cash. I usually go into those things.
They're good.
When I get decent cash.
We'll have to go back and get some stuff.
Well, the next time we'll go, we're taking stuff back because the following week, we'll have our first customer.
We're working on customers.
We'll have our first customer for the in about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, we're getting things lined up. The Landers thing is working good, so we're excited. Things seem to be going the way we want them to. Again, we've been putting a lot of work in. We're out there all the time on the weekends getting stuff done, and we'll be glad when we're done doing all the work we've done, because it's been a labor, so it'll be good to kind of break away from that when we're able to. So that'll be good. Next time we go out there, like we keep saying, maybe we'll be able to do something fun the next time we go out there.
I'm willing to go out there next time to have fun. I mean, even though you got a few things left, a couple boards to put up, a few... more boards or so to go to Home Depot for, and some kind of little rocks that he wants to throw out in the sand dune on the back side of the house, inside of the patio side.
If anybody's ever going up to Johnson Valley area, Joshua Tree National Park area, and wants a place to stay, you want to stay at our place, just send me an email and I'll let you know how you can do that. So anybody,
send him an email.
If you happen to plan a vacation up that way, let me know and I can certainly give you the details because it will be available soon.
Yeah, real soon.
That's pretty exciting.
Real soon.
Excited about that. And
I want to get this thing started. We owners can have a vacation going up and down.
We could use one. So yeah, it's something to look forward to, relaxing maybe. Yeah, it'll be cool. Do Uncle listeners get a discount? Yes, I will give you a discount.
Up to you.
Yeah, just get let your me own. Know and you'll get the if you tell me that's how you're because you're interested because you listen to the show, I for sure will work out a deal for you. So let me know if you're ever headed out that way. It's actually King of the Hammers this weekend, Uncle. I think it's going through the 11th is the King of the Hammers.
Yes. They have the Hamptons going.
Why don't you tell listeners what that is?
Running around the cars.
Running around the cars.
They go running around with cars like a steamboat, like a steam race. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I believe I went to one.
You went to that?
I mean, you did too. Went by one, I mean.
A race.
Can you see?
Oh, you mean on this trip we just did?
No. Not this trip. A couple trips ago.
We saw somebody racing?
We saw a bunch of cars around the chrome trip, going around like a racetrack.
Oh. It was
sidekicks on
was
the side.
Was it in Landers?
Yeah. It was that way. Telephone call. Hold on. We got a call. Who yet? And where you from?
You're on the air.
You're on the air, call. Hello?
Hello, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Jimmy, where you been?
He's back.
What's happening?
Well, I'm the 49ers. Too many quarterbacks.
Oh, man. I knew that was coming up.
It would be fun to just trash the 49ers.
Trash?
I want to, but it's too easy.
No, wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
It's too easy with us.
So, they beat us. Understandable. They beat us.
The Rams?
Rams.
No, they always beat the Rams, unfortunately.
But
yes.
They didn't get to the big one. Ding, ding, ding. I don't know how, but they had a good team defense. But I don't... I figured it was because one reason. Well, yeah, I should take it back. For one reason that it might have been the way it went. The rookie quarterback.
Well, he got hurt.
Yeah, and he got hurt.
Yeah,
he got hurt. But he was dreaming of something while he was playing.
Oh, you think that's why he got hurt? Is that what you're saying? I think even if he would have stayed in, they still would have lost, honestly. But once he was out,
they were out of it as soon as that. Fourth touchdown went in.
Yeah.
They were out of it then.
Yeah, they were done.
They were done then. They weren't beating the Eagles. I knew because it was, of course, a high score, but still, they with a young quarterback.
It was almost painful to watch that one. It was just like, ugh, why are they even playing at this point? But. Did you enjoy that one, Jimmy?
Yeah, did you enjoy that, Jimmy?
No, I didn't enjoy that.
Oh.
It was hard to, wasn't it?
You didn't enjoy it?
There's some pretty unusual officiating in that game.
Oh, the officiating.
I can't remember that one in terms of that officiating. I remember... A few of those games, I feel like there being some weird calls in some of the championship games, or maybe it was the playoff games, but what happened in that that was suspect to you?
What was that?
Well, they took away a goal, whatever.
Oh, a touchdown?
Oh.
That...
In the fourth quarter, they took away, I don't even remember.
Yeah, it's hard to, right?
they took away a touchdown.
Every game, there's a scandal. It's the same problem with everything. The referees are they're not.
They're bite off. No. They're bought off.
Ooh,
Jimmy,
off, huh?
They're bought off.
I don't think that.
They're bought off
think
from...
They're being put there. No, I don't think so. I just think they're subpar, just like every other aspect in society. Airline pilots.
Airline pilots.
Everything. They're just... People can't... That's right. They're having hard troubles finding real pilots.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the flight industry have all sorts of problems. Not just pilots, but the whole crew they can't get now.
I heard about that. Heck, I'm scared to fly anymore.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth, I wouldn't want to fly anymore.
I'd like to avoid it, honestly, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll go maybe on a boat. Boat be better than the flying if you decide on going somewhere. But
I don't know how I want to get around, honestly. Now that you make me think about it, I don't know. You have to stick in cars or maybe bike ride across the country? I don't know what we got to do.
Oh, like who's it called? Mr. Jump.
Mr. Jump?
Mr.
Who is this? Oh, Trump?
No.
What's that? Bump. This travel guy?
Yeah.
Musk? Elon Musk?
No. Not even Musk.
Well, whatever the case is, stay off the planes, everybody. No, if you can avoid it, just avoid it. You don't want to be on those things anyway.
That he shows his shirts and all. Not giving him a hint.
I should know this, but
I know you know it.
Yes, sure.
I'm just giving you a hint.
Okay.
Now he's gonna think. Hey, well, we got him on a thinking game.
Okay. Well. Okay. This is maybe I'm too tired to figure out what's going on here. You have to excuse me. I'm not sure what's happening now.
That's a first. I've heard this guy getting.
But
Hanks,
Tom Hanks.
No, wait.
Is that who you're talking about? Tom Hanks should be on an airplane.
No, it was Tom something.
Tom Cruise.
No, not Tom Cruise.
Tom Foolery.
Gump, Mr. Gump.
Oh, so Tom Hanks. Yeah. Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. That was the guy.
Forrest Gump, of course.
Why not?
How'd I miss that?
Okay. Well, how'd he miss that? I told you I got him. We got him on this time, Jimmy.
He got me, Jimmy. What do you say to that?
Yeah, it checks out.
Think anymore. This is crazy.
This one on myself tonight. But yeah, anybody else? Jimmy has called in. You may join him. We'd like to have more callers. 319-527-5016 or come on the show through Skype. Type a message to Chuck, Charles Soto Celli on Skype, or call 319-527-5016. Always taking live calls on right. Uncle the Broadcast.
I've actually got a live Skype caller that should be joining in just a moment.
Ooh, okay. How exciting.
5016. Always taking live calls.
You got to turn your radio off. Skype caller. There we go.
Skype caller.
He was talking.
Yeah, he muted. He's probably trying to figure out how to shut off his player. It's all right. He'll be back. He'll unmute himself when he's ready, I guess.
Yeah. Whenever you unmute.
Hello, Uncle.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Would you ever play a cowboy or a gangster in a movie if they offered it to you with a contract?
Oh, yeah. Definitely with a contract. No. Nothing goes by me without a contract.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point. I would.
Which one would you want to do more, cowboy or gangster?
Not cowboy. Because I used to ride a horse.
Make oh, sense?
Yeah? Yeah.
What was its name?
Cavalier.
Did you have Cavalier for a while?
I was on the farm. Yeah.
Florida, right?
Yeah, in Florida. A fish farm.
Mm-hmm.
But actually.
Did you ever get nervous on the horse?
No. Bareback, actually. An old saddle, but. I've learned how to walk with him. I've learned how to ride him because not many people can ride like that.
You mean bareback?
Bareback.
Yeah, I've heard that people try to avoid it. I've never even ridden a horse, honestly. I don't know how to avoid it.
I always wanted to ride a horse, but with, like, clothes on. Never bareback, you know what I mean?
Oh, you mean the saddle.
Clothed
horse, yeah.
Clothed horse, yeah.
Yeah, play it safe on that one. Okay.
Yeah, well.
Did you ever see the movie Hot to Trot?
Yeah, I heard of that one. Yes, I did.
Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yeah. That one. I remember that day. I saw the other one. I saw one. The guy with the shoes. He had boots.
He had the shoes?
He has boots on.
I didn't see that one.
And it was actually sound like, it was more like a comedy.
Oh, was it City Slickers?
Billy Crystal?
Yeah.
Not him, but close to it.
We're talking about a comedy western.
Yeah.
You're not talking about Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, that's it.
Blazing Saddles.
That's a good one.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Blazing Saddles. You seen that one?
That's a classic.
Oh, yeah, I watched that one. I'm with Bob Brooks in it. I got to live that.
You know, Richard Pryor wrote some of it.
He did?
Yeah, he wrote some of the screenplay.
Oh. Well, I totally got into that one. I don't know how, but they were showing one around a horse, and the one looked just like my horse, the white one.
Oh, Cavalier?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Just like that white one.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. I mean, there's a horse. There's the horse. Winning shadow, winning shadow. It's up there singing that song, and everything's going crazy. And then the shooting guns began in the saloon. Started shooting.
The girl was beautiful.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. That's where they got overpiled. The men got overpiled on the girls around.
No, I don't think Gomer Pyle was in that one.
No, Uncle, not Gomer Pyle.
Uncle, your horse didn't look like the one that Mongo punched in that movie, right? I mean,
right. That one.
That one. Oh, it did. Okay.
It did. I think he did. You didn't, Chuck?
Okay.
Yeah, he did. He punched somebody. I do remember. He punched somebody, but I forget who. I don't know if you've seen this movie.
I've seen it. It's been so long. I can't remember much of any of it.
I still remember.
It's a pretty old movie, yeah.
I think it was. Rick Tabak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Uncle, would you ever play a pirate?
Oh, yeah. Johnny Depp one.
you play Johnny Depp playing a pirate?
Yeah.
Uncle, we saw Johnny Depp on Hollywood Boulevard once. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. We saw him on.
We were down there on Hollywood
Boulevard. Hollywood Boulevard. Yeah, we're walking down the road.
Oh, I know what this is. He wanted $20 to get a picture with him, didn't he?
Well, yeah. We were walking right along, so we didn't give him time to give an offer, but we did see him. It was exciting.
We saw him. It was exciting. He was walking down.
Like Spider-Man almost robbed me when I was doing door dashing.
But boy,
you made your way down.
If it was an offer, himself, you want a picture of me? I'm gonna give him a picture.
Spider-Man,
but I don't know about
too.
The cash of what he want money or not.
They would demand money.
Oh, they would.
That those guys. If you take a picture, you better not, because they will demand money.
Oh, they do.
Boy, I got a great idea.
I wasn't sure.
I got a great idea for a video though, Aaron. If you were down there and like you had them take a picture with Uncle, and then you go, no, you just took a picture with Uncle from Uncle the Podcast. You owe us $20.
You owe us $20.
I would have thought of that.
Oh,
Chuck,
yeah.
I would have thought of that.
Then you're going to see Batman and Spider-Man not be so heroic.
They might all gang up on you. I mean, you know, be ready to pay the guy the $20. But I'm just saying it would be too funny to tape, like to actually do a video of you guys like going, no, you just took a picture with Uncle the from Uncle the Podcast. You need to pay us.
Yeah, do it to Chucky and see what happens.
Call Chucky up.
That's pretty genius, actually.
You know something? I wish I could have done that.
We
do what he said.
I mean,
if we had a card, give him the card and let him think about it.
We conceivably could still do that.
No. We still can.
We could.
We can go down there.
I like the idea of it. It's
but you have to make a video out of it, Aaron. You have to make a video out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Make it for Insta. Actually, for you guys, Instagrammers, you'll enjoy that.
Yeah. I think everybody.
You should get Uncle on Jimmy Kimmel across the street there too.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yeah. It's right there, El Capitan Theater. Right. It's right across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever read the type at the top of the facade of that building, Chris? Did you catch that?
Oh yeah. What part are you talking about, the El Capitan?
On El Capitan, have you read what it says, like, up near the roof on the facade of the building? Have you read what they have printed on there?
Oh, probably. I've been by that so many times, but could you remind me, though?
It says something specifically about Freemasonry. I have a photo of it. I can't remember, but paraphrasing, it says something like Freemasonry is the art that brings something to the world. I can't remember, but it says Freemasonry on it, on the El Capitan.
Well, I'll be honest, that doesn't ring a bell, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the Jimmy Kimmel Live sign is in much bigger type, so that's what most people notice, but it does mention Freemasonry on there, too. It's pretty cool.
Usually you think you got El Capitan's right there, you got the Chinese Theater, and then you got the Roosevelt Hotel with that sign. I remember that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I'm looking it up right now. What the Freemason thing is?
Yeah, yeah. Look up El Capitan. If there's a photo of the facade, you should be able to make out. It says something about Freemasonry. Something. I think it has something to do with like its global influence or something. I can't remember.
It used to be the Hollywood Masonic Temple. Now well, there you have the it. El yeah. Capitan Entertainment Center.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, along that whole strip of road, there's some really interesting stuff if you stop and take a look. I've got photos from through there. I can't even remember all of them. I should, like, go through them because it's just loaded with that kind of stuff. And
yeah, I never picked up on the Freemason stuff, though. I was always, every time I drive down Hollywood or Sunset, I'd just be taking in the history of the Hollywood part, but I didn't even realize there was a...
Well, you've got the whole set of that old, like, what's that movie? The Babylon movie? So it looks like Babylon into there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got that going on. That's interesting, first of all. Wasn't that Cecil B. DeMille? Was that the guy?
So, yeah.
I think it was him, yeah. So the whole mall area looks like you're in Sumeria or Babylon. So that's
true.
That's interesting. Just off the
El Capitan has been in so many movies in general.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Do you remember that this is my favorite Mr. Ed episode? Do you remember the one with Clint Eastwood?
Oh, yeah. Wilbur.
Wilbur. Yeah. He should be back.
Yeah, you remember that one where Mr. Ed kept making crank calls to Clint Eastwood and saying,
Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah, I remember that one. He was always giving him a headache. God.
They tortured that poor horse. They, like, what? Didn't they use, like, floss or fishing line or something to move his gums?
Oh, probably, because they're always lifting. Yeah, there's all sorts of horrible rumors about what they did to the horse. I'm assuming most of them are wrong, but you'd never...
Poor horse.
I think you can even see the fishing line, too, if you watch the reruns. Yeah.
Makes sense, yeah.
Oh, but they put peanut butter in there, too, I think, to make it a little easier, but still horrible.
PETA would not have that, that's for sure. That wouldn't fly.
No, they
face.
Would probably be throwing paint on Mr. Ed.
Or Wilbur. Yeah.
Yeah, Wilbur would bear the brunt of that. Yeah, they'd try to be saving the horse, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know why I say they'd be putting it on this.
They'd be getting us out of there, yeah.
They'd be throwing the paint on Timmy, too, over at Lassie, too.
Oh, yes, I remember. I watched Lassie. Boy, though, I tell you about that one. That one, I got to say, he was the smartest dog.
I know, but Timmy was the dumbest boy, always falling in wells and getting his shoe stuck in somebody, you know?
Yeah. Because the animal had to get him out of the trouble.
Yeah, the kid had
That's
to
what I mean. Lassie was
Yeah. He always got him out of trouble. Mm-hmm. I call his son. There's another one I get is
Old Yeller.
Mr. Wilson.
Dennis Menace. Yep.
Dennis the Menace. I call him. Hey, down. Dennis the Menace. He's a Dennis Menace. I don't know why he didn't call them that. Mr. Wilson.
That's right. Dairy Queen. Remember Dairy Queen? Characters, too, for their logo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Dennis the Menace ones. Yeah, that does. I remember that now.
Yeah.
I had completely forgotten, but yeah.
They licensed it to, Dairy Queen. I think Foster's, too, was also a Dairy Queen, but the California version, I think.
Maybe. A lot of times, yeah, those things are different.
I think they were owned by the same, like, company, but because they had similar everything, I noticed, when I was living in L.A. Foster's pretty much was Dairy Queen without the Dennis the Menace stuff.
Yeah, it's like how Carl's Jr. is Hardee's. It's Carl's Jr.
Well,
here, it's Hardee's.
Yeah.
I noticed today on Hardee's the special hamburger that you liked most of the time was turned to black and eliminated the yellow.
Wait, where?
I saw the sign coming home.
At what restaurant?
Hardee's.
Hardee's?
No, not Hardee's.
Not
Carl's Jr. either.
Carl's Jr.
Carl's
there was Jr. a sign there. There was a sign. You didn't see it.
I can't remember the last time I went to Carl's Jr.
Yo, that Carl's Jr., it had a sign. And it was a black sign this time without the red and the yellow.
Okay, so they changed the colors, the marketing colors.
Marketing colors, yeah, that's what it was.
Okay, well, cool.
I think right, so, then. Yeah. In-N-Out Burger had a veggie burger, too, and it was kind of gross.
Really?
Gross.
I didn't even realize they
Yeah, I'm not a meat guy, so yeah, that was the only thing I could eat there. Yeah.
Yeah, they famously don't change their menus. Yeah, I'm surprised they did.
What about these balloons? I figure there's one or two things going on. One, they're from China, and they're here to pick up Hunter and Joe because they think he's in trouble. They come from the Martians. Mm. I think they might be Martian blue. What about that?
Jimmy, I actually good question. Think it's for real, I actually think it's a beta test for an EMP attack in a year or so. I'm not even kidding about that.
Attack? Who's going to get attacked?
How's that?
Because they utilize those exact balloons for those, and they do the drills and stuff in China and in Russia, and even we do it too. I can't remember the exact thing, but.
What they're talking about, Uncle.
They got the power grid, like in the electricity. EMBs.
Yeah, sure. They're talking about, Uncle, is that you saw the balloon all week, right? The Chinese balloon that was floating around, and the people were arguing about it.
Yeah, there were two of them. Yep.
Oh,
they shot it down. And they shot it down.
Oh, yeah. The shooting down.
You saw that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was up
around South Carolina. They shot the
South Carolina.
Yeah. I heard about that. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was a second one, too, and I believe that one went unscathed and went to South America, I believe.
Yeah, was one over South America somewhere, and then North America was South Carolina.
Right.
North, south, yeah.
So if we shoot something of theirs, welcome to it, because they shot over to us.
Yeah, presumably it's a Chinese surveillance balloon.
And my question is, how do they know it's China? And it kind of reminds me of how they knew all the hijackers the next day.
Had to see what kind of signs it was.
They couldn't stop it. You know what I mean?
They confessed.
What?
In both cases, they confessed, so it takes a little of the mystery out.
Oh.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the China story is fascinating because one day you'll hear in the news that China is the most dangerous country. We're going to go to war with them within a few years. And the next day you'll read the story. It's like, oh, China's really getting soft and they're real nice now. And Biden's probably about to go there tomorrow.
They do that on purpose. They do it back and forth. You know, just like with COVID. It's like, well, this will give you COVID. Oh, this will protect you from COVID. It was like back and forth. We didn't know what we were coming or going. You know what I mean?
It's very much that way with the China thing, yeah. And they've. It'll be interesting to see what they do with things like TikTok because they keep acting like the government keeps acting like they're gonna pull the app.
Well, Aaron, you remember Trump made an order where he wanted to ban it, and then it went away. It went away.
That's right. And then Biden kind of like. Ripped Trump for that, but then he later agreed with him essentially, and he wanted to bring it down.
Just like with the JFK.
There was an organized campaign.
The same thing.
There was an organized campaign to paint Trump as quote unquote whatever xenophobic and Asian because he sensibly wanted to ban TikTok.
I did
for all government employees anyway, so.
Fair enough. You got another Skype caller about to join, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Well, the Uncle
Let's hit that Skype caller. Hold on, you two. Hold on, you two. I'm getting a score.
Are real serious.
Well, see who this is on the line and away from.
Yeah, new caller.
There they are.
Hello?
Greetings. This is Robin from broadcasting from Canada.
Canada boy, he's back again. All right. Kennedy man.
I've got very low batteries though, so I got to get this out. I looked up I looked up on Google Street View that place you're talking about, Aaron.
Which one?
The Chinese the theater there, El Capitan.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, what did you come up with?
It says Freemasonry builds its temples among the nations and in the hearts of the men.
That's the question.
So it did have an international quality to it. I thought I remembered that. Okay, cool. Yeah, there you go.
But I that's all I got today.
All right, Robin. Thank you. That helps a lot. Yeah. We'll talk to you again.
Cheers, Chris. Cheers, Chuck. Here's Jimmy.
It's funny because the Scientology Center is like not too far from there either, so everyone's up there, I guess.
There you go. Yeah, the Celebrity Center.
Yeah, when I went in there, it felt like we were being watched the whole time under surveillance.
Yeah, you were, obviously.
Probably.
Not a doubt about it. Absolutely.
Thanks, Robin, for calling in.
Their psychiatry exhibit in like 2008. Yeah.
Thanks, Robin, for calling in. He's already dropped off, guys, just so you know.
Great to have you. Thank you for that. Again, I could only paraphrase it really generally. It's good to hear that again. But yeah, now that you read it, it's coming back to mind. Yeah. That's old Freemasonic temple, and it's used as, the big Tonight Show, the Jimmy Kimmel Show, whatever his show is called. That's where they air it.
Live with Jimmy Kimmel, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got about 8 minutes left, guys, just so you know, on the regular time.
Cool. Thank you, Chuck. It's good to know.
We got three calls.
Yeah, we're doing good here.
It's not okay. From last week, we're not. What one?
Good night on the live show. Getting some good calls.
Uncle, what was the Cleveland Indians mascot's name? Yahoo what?
Chief Wahoo.
Chief Wahoo. Chief Wahoo.
That's right.
Chief Wahoo.
Uh-huh.
He was a chief.
Was a chief, and he's a Wahoo chief. Maybe you wanted to hear that.
That was the name of that kid. You know what
I mean? They wanted to know what that was. So. Yeah.
And they called him Charlie Sheen.
Well, it's his.
What?
Because there was a real ball player in 1901, and he first played for the Cleveland Indians, and then his name was Wahoo Sam because he came from Wahoo, Nebraska. Anyways, he played like one season or two for the Indians, and then he played like 22 seasons for the Tigers. I just kind of thought, I bet that Wahoo mascot's probably based on Wahoo Sam Crawford, who was like the biggest player up until Ty Cobb.
Yeah, very likely.
And there's another show talking about that. What was that show?
Really? About this?
A baseball player.
You're talking about Chief Wahoo?
No, not Chief Wahoo.
What are they talking about?
They were going to a World Series.
Shoeless Joe Jackson and the Black Sox.
That?
Oh. Black Sox.
Black Sox.
Is that a retired team?
Is that what you're talking about, Uncle?
No.
The 1919 Black Sox.
It was with a ghoul in this guy and the Hornets. Mm.
Okay, well,
you gotta have the horn. Had the horn in
it.
The name of the baseball team was he had the horns. They had the horns.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Fair enough.
Did they have that actress, Davis? Geneva Davis?
Gina Davis, yeah.
That was a League of Their Own.
That was a League of Their Own. The other thing that he was talking about there, Jimmy's talking about the Black Sox scandal because the White Sox threw the World Series and eight of them or whatever were, convicted of doing that and this whole thing, accepting money to throw the World Series in 1919.
Then he brought up Gina Davis, though.
Then Gina Davis comes up because she's tied to the whole American women's baseball thing that happened during World War II.
Yeah, League of Their Own.
League of Their Own, the movie, Penny Marshall directed. And then they made a new series out of it or something, I think.
Recently. Oh, yeah, I think they just recently made some streaming series of that. Yeah, I saw a preview for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't catch that.
Betty was in the original, and Madonna, too.
Yeah, Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell were buddies in that.
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz
is the scout.
Yeah.
From Tom Hanks as Jimmy Dugan. He got the clap.
It was the worst baseball game, worst baseball team
in history.
In history.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and this.
And they had horns.
And they had the horns.
I thought that was the Sandlot.
No, that was the. That was their.
I was going to say the
Sunward.
The 62 yeah. Mets were pretty bad, but they didn't have horns. they were real bad.
It was a cow.
It was a cow. They were the cows? That was the team? Like the cows.
It must have been a minor league team.
They have a cow, man.
Maybe. A cow town. Yeah, a cow, cow town.
Must have been a minor league team of some kind.
Billy something. It was cool.
Okay, we'll take your word for it.
I think it was called Billy something.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was.
I can't think of the name of this movie, but it was called Billy something.
Are you talking about the story of Billy Bean, Moneyball, where they come in and they have a terrible team, and then they use the nerds to do the calculations, and they figure out on-base percentage helps them and all that, and it's got, what the hell is that guy, Brad Pitt in it?
Brad Pitt and the fat guy.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of them. Okay. That's one of the show.
That's one. Okay, yeah, so we got
that,
one.
That was one of them I was thinking
right,
of.
Good. Chuck. We got that.
But there was
Billy Madison.
He was a pitcher, and he always went with this girl, and this girl kept hanging him up.
Are you talking about Major League with Charlie Sheen, maybe?
Field of Dreams?
Major League with Charlie Sheen, where the guy's wild thing? The guy's wild thing?
That one.
That's why we were. So that's the Cleveland Indians, too.
Yeah, that's the Indians, too.
Okay, yeah. We got it. That was the uncle. That was easy. We figured that out.
I think that guy was funny because he kept that Sheen guy on. He was the pitcher.
He was.
And Bobby.
He was the closer, right?
Yeah, he was a closer, and he was always giving the look to the hitters.
Wesley Snipes.
That was very funny.
Bob Uecker from the thing.
Wesley Snipes, Snipes was then later replaced by a different actor playing Willie Mays Hayes, right?
Hey, it's time for
shout-outs, guys. So, just so you know.
Yeah, let's do shout-outs. I was about to suggest that, too. So why don't we go to Jimmy?
Jimmy, who
shout-out to tonight?
Oh, shout out to Sewersville Jackson and Yahoo Sam. Both were done wrong.
All right. Thanks for calling, Jimmy. It's great to have you as always. We'll talk to you again, man.
Talk to you again.
Now we'll go to Chris. Chris, who you got to shout out to this evening?
I got a shout out to Jerry Lawler and Tracy Lords, who both might be on my show in the next week or two.
Nice. Ooh, exciting. Okay. Right here on the Ocelli Radio Network. Bear listen.
Hey, if he gets Jerry the King Lawler, I'll see if I can somehow steal him afterwards for an uncle show. Because I'm sure
I would like that guy, right? I would. But
there's the
wrestler. One thing's going to happen. Okay. If you ever get a wrestler, that's going to be an hour of me and him talking.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody stand back.
Stand back, everybody.
Jerry the King Lawler is a legend, though.
I know. He gets around. I know he gets around, but, you know, if I can really
job.
Get
good job,
him.
Chris. That's exciting.
Exactly. Your first guest tomorrow night, do you still have him lined up?
Who?
Chris?
What is Len Osanek, JFK fame.
Yeah, I'll tell people because I hear that you're eating, sir. But yeah, Len Osanek from Black Op Radio will be the first guest on the newly relaunched Get Mad with Chris Graves, which is now going to be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Ocelli.com live at 6 p.m. Eastern. There you go. So I did it for him. All right. Thank you.
Well done. Well done, everybody. Chris and Chuck, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Keep listening. Get mad.
I'm just going to put my earplugs on. Listen to these guys.
Jelly Radio Network. Okay.
Yeah, I got to get back. With
who do you want to shout out to?
We all have a shout out.
Yeah. Go for it.
Shout out to the women out there. What are you laughing at, sidekick?
Hey,
I'm trying to call in the sun out.
Shout it out, Uncle. Sorry.
They're all the ones Not busy out there. Chuck knows one. But, of course, as always been said, and everybody else that was listening, and the people in the other countries, oh, shout-outs to you all. I am.
Good shout-outs. Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, at Uncle Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, UncleThePodcast.com. Uncle, we're done. Why don't you bring us home for the week here?
Well, I guess you don't have a shout-out.
No, I'm good.
Well, that's our show. 287. Bye-bye.